Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Verses and translations and purports. Very familiar verse we're going to do today. Verse 9 of chapter 10. Okay. Were you going to put it up or? Okay. I think, well, some of you know it. We can chant it responsibly. Much chitta madgata prana. Bodhayanta parasparam. Katayantas chamam nicham. Dishanti cha ramanti cha. Much chitta madgata prana. Bodhayanta parasparam. Katayantas chamam nicham. Tishanti cha ramanti cha. Maybe a couple of people could chant. Ladies? Okay, the translation purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs of the purport. They're fairly long. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likens the transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of a living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and it's sown in the heart of the living entity. And if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the coverings of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti refulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, the plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called the Loka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as the plant grows fruit and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruit, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjalila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. To finish that point, Om Gyana Kimarandisha Gananjana Salakaya Chakshumitami Naitasma Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchikalpatrivishcha Kripasinadevicha Patitano Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So as many of the devotees know, this is one of the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavad Gita, one of the four primary instructions by Krishna. We have four primary verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna's direct instructions to Lord Brahma. And then, of course, that expanded more and more, as it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to 18,000 verses. And so, similarly, the Bhagavad Gita, these four are considered to be really primary. Prabhupada says, as in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th canto, the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, has summarized the whole text in four verses, namely, Hung Sarvasya Prabhavo, starting with Bhagavad Gita 10.8. So the complete Srimad Bhagavatam has also been summarized in four verses, beginning with Ahang Evasya Evagre, 2.9.33. I was just recalling the other day, I don't know if Madan Mahan is here, we were talking about back when we were in Miami in about 1973, our temple president insisted that we learn all these four nutshell verses, and actually we realized how we were very thankful that he made us, or at least encouraged us to learn them, because they're very, very important, very much a part of the essence of understanding the philosophy. So in the four verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly here in the Bhagavad Gita, of course the verse before in 10.8, Krishna established himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he establishes devotional service as the process to be able to attain him. So this particular verse, first of all, gives a description of the activities of pure devotees. So if you want to know when someone is self-realized, if somebody is a great devotee of the Lord, a great transcendentalist, what would they be doing? What are their symptoms? Prabhupada says devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. So this is the primary activity of devotees of Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees of Krishna naturally want to talk about him, to glorify him, to hear about his pastimes, and to associate with one another in relation to Krishna. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport or commentary to this verse, explains that this process of hearing, chanting, and remembering, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, are actually explained within this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Because Majjita means one's mind is engaged in me, which is the process of Smaranam, Bodhiyanta, enlightening one another and conversing. She says that's an explanation of Shravana, and Katayanta, talking about, which is Kirtan. So in other words, embedded within these verses is the whole process of Bhakti Yoga, which begins with hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, speaking, and of course Kirtan also means chanting, chanting the names of God, either in japa or as we do all together in a musical kirtan together. In these ways, one glorifies the Lord, and then after one hears and chants, the next stage, of course, is Smaranam, or remembering. In other words, it becomes embedded in one's consciousness and actually changes the consciousness of the practitioner. So another thing that's very much stressed in the verses and the purports here is this importance of the association of devotees. Because it's talking about devotees coming together, enlivening one another, enlightening one another by their association. So this cannot be minimized. The importance of coming together with like-minded people. Just like you see in any society or any group, people like to form clubs or societies or groups of people who like to do things they like to do, who are like-minded. You know, so this is a natural thing that we see everywhere in society. If somebody really likes, like my, I remember my parents, they were very passionate about playing bridge. So of course they were in bridge clubs so they could be and play bridge and talk about bridge with other people who like to play bridge. So that's of course a material example. But in the same way, those who are transcendentalists, those who are interested in spiritual life, they want to associate with other people who are also interested in spiritual life. It's a very natural process. And as we associate in that way, then we become more enlivened, more encouraged, and it helps us to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, in this purport, there's kind of a subtle point that Prabhupada mentions the importance of association of devotees actually in two different stages. Prabhupada mentions that it's how important it is both in the beginning and the advanced stage of devotional service. In the advanced stage, it says Krishna's pastimes are the center of thought, speech with others, is parasparam, discussing amongst ourselves. So in other words, the very advanced devotees, mind and consciousness is always on God, is always on Krishna, and therefore that becomes the subject matter of their conversation, of their activities with others. However, in the preliminary stage, when one isn't quite so advanced, or one is just in the beginning stage, as most of us are, then Prabhupada says that Krishna's service becomes the center of devotee's life. So if we're not able to just remember Krishna all the time, at least we can engage in Krishna's service. And we know that the hearing, chanting, and the nine processes of devotional service are central to the lives of the devotees. So if we're engaged in serving Krishna in those ways, the nine processes, that's not different than being constantly remembering and glorifying Krishna. You know, because we glorify God, and we serve God in many ways, with our mind, but also with our words and with our body. So any way that we're engaged in practical devotional service and service to the Lord is very beneficial. So in other words, Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga, glorifying the Lord, hearing and chanting, it's not that it's a beginning stage or an advanced stage exclusively, it's both. In other words, all stages of Krishna consciousness, all stages of spiritual life are included within the processes of hearing and chanting. In other words, in the beginning, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And when one becomes very advanced, if one becomes enlightened, self-realized, you still chant Hare Krishna. Because at that stage, one is just relishing the experience that Krishna is non-different than his name. That Krishna is right there within his name, and one experiences this complete spiritual bliss that's been described in this verse through that process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, Prabhupada says that one relishes the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And we experience that. You know, that there is that taste that we get of spiritual life through the process of serving Krishna. Because through the process of serving, one is able to exhibit and demonstrate and also experience love, right? You know, just even in the material world, in ordinary dealings, we know that if we love somebody, automatically there's going to be some service, right? In other words, think of a parent and a child. You know, the parent is serving the child all the time, doing so many things for it, you know, out of love. And once in a while, the child does something for the parent, too. But, you know, it's a little bit, it's not quite so balanced that way. Until they get older, then they might. Or if a man and a woman or husband and wife have a relationship where they love each other, there's naturally going to be service. There's naturally going to be helping one another, giving to one another. This is natural. Remember, many years ago, I heard this quote from Khalil Gibran that was kind of interesting. He said, work is love made visible, which is, I thought, was very interesting because when I was a child, for some reason, I was in this Unitarian church, and they gave out these pencils that had the name of the church, and they had that quote on it, work is love made visible. Well, I didn't understand it very well as a child, and as I got older, I realized, isn't this actually the principle of bhakti? In other words, work or service is how we show and demonstrate our love. If it's only theoretical or if it's only abstract, sometimes it doesn't mean so much. You know, we can say, oh, I love you, or I love Krishna, I love Krishna, I love, you know. But it doesn't mean very much if we don't do anything, if we don't demonstrate that in some way. And that's where we have the processes of bhakti, and the nine processes are there that help us to demonstrate that love and show that love. And even if the love is not so developed, even if we have not developed our love for God so much, those processes themselves help us to develop it, and they strengthen it. And it becomes more and more natural because that relationship is dormant within us. It is natural to the soul. It is the nature of the soul to be in a loving relationship with God, with Krishna. And therefore, the more that we associate with Krishna through service, then that relationship will begin to develop that we have long forgotten after many, many lifetimes in this material world. So we take pleasure in that service, as Prabhupada was saying, and through all of these different stages of spiritual practice as we advance, it's important to have this good association. This is mentioned, of course, very strongly in this verse and purport, that especially in the neophyte stage, our best way to connect with Krishna is through this process of bhakti, of bhakti yoga, and particularly through sadhana. Sadhana means our regulated practices of devotional service. What we do every day, chanting on our beads, attending the temple, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Through these practices, it's the way that we connect with Krishna. And the best way to do those practices, of course, is following the instructions of the spiritual master. So we don't just make up a practice. We don't just make up something that seems interesting to us. And we see this a lot today. We see all these different practices and sort of different concoctions or sort of alterations of like original yoga practice and things like that, and different practices of spiritual life, that many people just come up with something new and it's not really authorized. I mean, all of these practices are originally there within the Vedic, not all these practices, but many of them, like the yoga system, the Patanjali's, yoga system is there, the Ashtanga yoga system. These are not so much recommended for this age because they're very difficult to do, but they do have some scriptural basis. But the problem is people just take, they pick and choose, and they take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they come up with something, that may not even resemble the original. I think I mentioned this before, but so if you heard it before, I'm sorry, but it always amuses me. Some years ago, there was some Indian guru or something who had come, and he was trying to talk about the process of doing Agnihotra, or fire sacrifice, which, of course, is a legitimate practice, doing fire sacrifices. But he said it's very difficult to do these. So he was introducing Chota Agnihotra, little Agnihotra. So what you did was you got a little piece of charcoal, and you put it in your ashtray in your car, and you could do some quick, little thing. And that was his process of fire sacrifice. So, this isn't so much helpful to us. We want to find those processes which are recommended by God, recommended by Krishna through the revealed scriptures, through Bhagavad Gita, and are given by the spiritual master who comes in the line of the civic succession. So why do we follow our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada? Well, of course, because of his personal purity and his knowledge and so many things like that we could say, but also because he comes in this disciplic succession from Lord Brahma through Madhvacharya, through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the whole Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, where he was from one spiritual master to another in a specific line, giving the same instruction without changing. Now, the spiritual master may show how to actually, or may demonstrate how to perform devotional service according to time, place, and circumstance. 21st century America is a little bit different than 16th century India. So sometimes the applications may be different, but the principles remain the same. And the principles should not be changed. So the same principles that Krishna is giving the Bhagavad Gita are passed down in the succession succession for 5,000 years to the point where we have been given directly by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And so therefore, we understand this is the bona fide process of spiritual life. This is a process of bhakti yoga that can be followed by people and gain result. There's a description in the second paragraph of the purport in today's verse where Srila Prabhupada describes how this process takes place, and he refers to the description given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Majjhima Lila, chapter 19, which is, of course, the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami. So in his instructions to Rupa Goswami, he explains how the living entity is given devotional service and how that seed of devotional service, the bhakti lata bij, is given in the heart of each living entity. So in 19.151, Lord Chaitanya says, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems. Some of them are going down to the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of devotional service, the bhakti lata bij. So it's clearly stated here that two things must be there. First of all, the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of Krishna, which of course is there for everybody, and the mercy of the spiritual master. Prabhupada explained that this mercy is universal. It's there for everyone. There's no discrimination. And it's explained that just like the rain rains on fertile soil, and also the rain comes down on the ocean, and it comes down on dry rocks, where it really isn't useful, or there's no fruit or result from it like there would be on the fertile field. But nevertheless, the rain is freely giving its nourishment to all. In the same way, the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, is giving that mercy to everyone. But there needs to be that fertile field. There needs to be that receptivity. There needs to be the interest. So some people will take it and some people will not. But having that association with such a spiritual master is so important. The Srimad Bhagavatam 118.13 says, the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity? So in other words, nothing that we can really find in this material world is of any value compared to that association with the great devotee of the Lord. Once one receives that seed of devotional service of the bhakti lata bij, one's life is permanently changed. There's almost no going back. So the meaning and value of one's life changes when one comes into contact with the spiritual master, when one receives that mercy and one begins the path of Krishna consciousness, the path of devotional life. Then that's the permanent change. At that moment, there's been like a qualitative shift. It's not just like, well, I'm going along, I'm doing this, I'm doing something more, and I'm doing something more. The quality changes. The quality changes because one is actually now connected to Krishna, to God, through the mercy of that spiritual master. And it's very difficult at that time to ever return to material life, isn't it? It's never really the same for devotees. It's very difficult to once again take up the same material life and kind of like put it all aside. It's just not possible because that taste of Krishna consciousness is there, and that understanding and philosophical realization is there about what the purpose of life is, what the meaning of life is. And so it's very hard to ever turn one's back on that. And sometimes people try, but they usually come back again because there's very little enjoyment, very little purpose and meaning in life outside of one's spiritual attainment or spiritual life. So this bhakti lata bij, which is bhakti lata means the creeper, which is like a vine. When you say creeper, it's, you know, it's like a growing vine, and of devotional service. And bija means a seed. So the seed is planted, as we said, when one gets the mercy of the spiritual master and of Krishna. And then it grows. Of course, this is metaphorically. It grows through all the coverings of the material universe. It goes to Goloka Vrindavan, and it goes to the feet of Krishna. And there, just as a tree may have flower and fruits, those flower and fruits of devotional service then come into being. And those fruits represent love of God. One's love of God develops at the lotus feet of Krishna. So, of course, this is a colorful sort of example or analogy to tell us how this is happening. And it's described in the Madhurya Kandambini that there are two fresh leaves that represent sadhana bhakti, that two leaves of this devotional creeper. One, the first leaf is called Kleshagni, which means the destroyer of distresses, and the second leaf is known as Subhadha, the bestower of good fortune. So two things are happening simultaneously. All of one's distress, one's anxiety, all of one's difficulties are being dissipated and mitigated, and also good fortune, spiritual good fortune, is coming into being. So we are simultaneously, in the process of spiritual life, of Krishna consciousness, we are becoming detached from matter, detached from materialism. And at the same time, we are attracted and develop a relationship with Krishna. So it's like the two things are happening simultaneously. One is the detachment from those things which are material, and a growing love and attachment for spiritual life. So this, just as in this metaphor of the devotional creeper, as it's growing, what does a plant need to grow? Water, of course. So just as a plant needs watering, the bhakti lata, the creeper, is nourished by the watering of hearing and chanting and the nine processes of devotional service. So the more that we engage in this process of hearing and chanting, the more we will see spiritual advancement. The more our devotional life will grow, you know, through the process of hearing and chanting, of course, and that's why we always encourage everybody to try to take up this chanting as much as possible, you know, to come and associate with the devotees and chant Hare Krishna, because that will nourish that creeper of bhakti, and that will help one's spiritual life to grow and to advance. Now, of course, we also know that other things can harm a young plant. One of those things, of course, is Vaishnava aparad, or making offenses to devotees. That's called the mad elephant offense, and that's very serious. This is, of course, you have to be in India, or, you know, to appreciate this expression or this example, you know. But we don't have too many mad elephants running through our gardens here, fortunately. But if you were in India, and you probably in Africa too, and you had a nice garden and an elephant who was enraged, who was out of control. Normally they're fairly tame, you know, that people control them and use them. But when it goes out of control, you can imagine him crashing through your garden, he'd probably stomp it to pieces. So we have to be very careful about that. And how do we defend against that? By building a fence. And the fence is called the Association of Devotees. By keeping association of, as we said, like-minded people, of those who are engaged in spiritual life, who are interested in spiritual life, then that helps us to prevent those aparads or offenses. And finally, we also, any of you have gardened, especially in Florida, what also grows along with the plants? Weeds. I do a lot of gardening here, and I'm from the north originally, and I've never seen weeds and grass grow like they do in Florida. It's just amazing, isn't it? You know, it's practically unstoppable. You know, so weeds are a big problem because weeds choke out the plants, right? And they prevent the plant from getting nourished. So we also have to watch out for these weeds in the Bhakti Lata. And they're described in Majjalila 19.159. Ishidachara kutinati jiva himsana labha puja pratishtadi yata upasaka ghana. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All of these are unwanted creepers. So we have to be very careful, because Prabhupada explains that as one advances in Krishna consciousness and one is chanting, other things may also grow. One may get a sense of feeling important, or that people are respecting him or admiring them. And these things are actually to be avoided. We need to be very careful, because the devotee always keeps himself in a humble state of mind. Without that natural, and actually you can see that a lot of these types of behaviors that will choke our devotional life actually stem from a lack of humility. If we were unable to take a humble approach and understand that we are very small in relationship to God and we think that we are very important, you know, then this is very detrimental to our spiritual life. Mundane profiteering, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport to that, examples of that would be like trying to make money from hearing and chanting. In other words, we see sometimes these professional reciters, he gives examples, especially in India, of people who do these professional recitations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course make a lot of money and lots of followers by doing this. So in other words, we want to give Krishna consciousness freely, not for any mundane reason or not for any personal profit. And of course, this can, you know, sometimes, you know, poses difficulties. It seems like something that would be fairly obvious, but, you know, these things can be there, and they creep in along with the creeper. You know, so, and of course, animal killing, that's obvious. Diplomatic behavior, and Prabhupada describes that as being duplicitous, or, not being sincere, being flattering, being, not really being straightforward in our dealings and honest in our dealings. I mean, this is so important that we really need to be this way. We have the opportunity, when we associate with devotees, you know, to show the highest qualities and to develop those qualities. So these are all things to be aware of. But the important thing is that if we keep good association, then we have some protection. You know, we want to, of course, associate with a spiritual master, and of course, particularly through his books and through his words, and associate with all the devotees who help us in this path of Krishna consciousness. It can be difficult to do this on one's own. So that is why, of course, we have this society, of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And one of the purposes that Prabhupada formed this International Society for Krishna Consciousness was for a place for people to come together, to have support, and to strengthen our devotional service by the association of devotees. Prabhupada said, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of Godhead is very pleasing. I'm sorry, this wasn't the purport. This was the verse. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:25. I thought it sounded like a Bhagavatam verse. Okay. Starting again. In association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begins. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. For in that same verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary says, he discusses another angle to that. He says, from ordinary association, one attains only bhajana kriya. In other words, one might take to the process of chanting Hare Krishna, and just by ordinary association. Simple example, that we know that there are some professional singers who are not devotees that chant kirtans. So in other words, what is the effect of that? The effect of that is, according to Vishnuchakravarti Thakur, one can only come to the Bhajana Kriya stage of the practice of devotional service. But he says, with superior association, the association of pure devotees brings one to the Anartanavritti stage. So the Anartanavritti stage means when one is giving up one's unwanted habits, right? When one is actually starting to become purified. So that purification only comes about when one is associating with a pure devotee. I was also thinking of, in the beginning, remember Allen Ginsberg? You know, most of you don't remember, you're too young to remember him, but I remember him. You know, we all thought he was really cool. I remember I wrote a term paper in my English class in high school about Allen Ginsberg's poetry. You know, so I was studying all his poetry, and I realized it was actually not very good. You know, but anyway, but you know, I had to be cool and, you know, write about Allen Ginsberg. So anyway, it really wasn't very good poetry, but he was kind of well known, and he actually began chanting Hare Krishna in America even before Srila Prabhupada came. Somehow he'd gone to India, and he was chanting, and he had some following, but none of them really became devotees, and it didn't really, you know, amount to anything. Of course, Prabhupada, he kind of befriended Prabhupada, and, you know, he helped organize some events. But then when Prabhupada chanted and began, what happened? So many people came and became devotees. They became converted. They became convinced. They began understanding the philosophy. In other words, the real change of heart began when there was association with a pure devotee of the Lord. I mean, Allen Ginsberg's basically, his personal sadhana was involved doing a lot of unmentionable things, which we will not discuss in front of the deities in the class. But, you know, he was, you know, had no real purification. There was no real change of habit. It's that change of habit, that real change of consciousness comes from the pure devotee. And when we become enlightened and enlivened in the association of those pure devotees, then real change comes about. And we saw that same group of people who were hanging around with Allen Ginsberg. I mean, the same group of people wasn't much different what Srila Prabhupada encountered in the Lower East Side of New York and Haight-Ashbury District of San Francisco. What happened to them? They gave up drugs. They gave up illicit sex. They gave up everything and followed Srila Prabhupada. And some of us are still here. But I wasn't in Haight-Ashbury, but, you know. In other words, with, you know, similar backgrounds that many of us came from. And we were able to give that all up because we had the absolute truth. We had the higher taste of the real thing, of Krishna consciousness, of chanting Hare Krishna from the lips of the pure devotee. So that affected a real change in the heart. So when the heart changes and the consciousness changes, you know, then one comes to real spiritual life in the process of self-realization. So from that point, in that beginning point, the devotees continue to make further advancement, further and further along in devotional service over the years. And so Prabhupada created this society. He created this ISKCON society as a place for association of devotees. This was very important to him. He was very interested in not just like publishing books, although the books were so important, and Prabhupada emphasized the books almost beyond anything, especially in the beginning, to get these books out to people. But he also emphasized temples, right? He wanted to start temples all over the world. Why? Because the temples were places for people to come together, for people to, you know, someone who's just reading this Bhagavad Gita, you probably would have a lot of questions. I know I did when I first read Bhagavad Gita. It wasn't like, well, everything's just absolute. I mean, it was very clear, and I was convinced, and I wanted to be a devotee, but I also wanted to meet devotees and talk to people about this, and people could explain it, and what does this mean, and how do we live this, and how does one become a devotee of Krishna? So these temples are that place that we can get that good association. And through that good association, then one's bhakti lata creeper can grow. And that... So we need to seek out advanced association, good association, and a line from Srila Prabhupada, you know, who are going to put us on the right path of Krishna consciousness. So thank you all very much. Appreciate your patience in hearing me today. Are there any questions or comments from anybody? Yes.
Thank you very much. Boy, you hit it right on the head on a lot of things, and thank you.
Well, thank you.
I moved up here 2.5 years ago from Cape Coral, where there's no temple or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
If any association, there's probably none. But when I moved up here, I've been meeting a lot of devotees in town in these 2 years now, as well as in the temple. And I'm a beginner, but I'm not a beginner, but I'm not initiated. And, you know, whether initiation comes or goes, that's up to the Almighty. But what I want to say is, as you brought out a lot of things, and we're encouraged us to associate with devotees, but what happens when you're encouraged to associate with devotees and devotees burn you?
Well, I mean, these things happen in the material world. Sometimes there are relationships that may not work so well, or there may be more neophyte devotees or beginning devotees who don't present themselves well or Krishna consciousness well. And that's going to happen because it's a long process of purification in Krishna consciousness. The thing that we try to see in devotees is, are they rightly situated or not? The Prabhupada gave the example, you may have heard this, about being in the shower. Prabhupada said, you know, it's like we all have all of this sort of dirt, you know, this past baggage that we bring. But we're in the shower, and we're in the shower getting clean. So Prabhupada says, be careful, don't criticize the person. So don't say, well, that person is dirty if he's in the shower. In other words, if he's not in the shower, that's another thing. You might say, well, you're not really in a good position or you're not practicing. But if a person is sincerely trying to practice Krishna consciousness, you know, then we at least see that the person is on the path of purification. And, you know, there may be some remaining problems there, some remaining obstacles. So we try to be a little tolerant, you know, and hopefully we don't get burned too much. And if one has a bad experience, my advice would be to seek out some more senior devotees that you do have some confidence or a good relationship with, and, you know, and talk to them about it. You know, kind of work through it, work it out, see what the issues are, and, you know, whether your understanding or their understanding. In other words, don't carry resentments against devotees. It doesn't help us. It's not really healthy. It doesn't help us to move forward. You know, so it's really better to try to work through those things than carry resentment. That's all. That's my point on it.
In regards to association with devotees and people who are not initiated, mm-hmm. how do we deal with devotees that are initiated, do the fire sacrifice, are asked the four regular principles, the chanting of Hare Krishna, and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You meet them in a certain area, and that has gone out the window.
Yeah.
They're proud of their name, they're proud of their guru.
But they're not able to really follow.
But the four regular principles yeah. left a long time ago.
Well, that's unfortunate, and that can happen. Prabhupada said spiritual life is like a razor's edge. He said in one slip, one can get cut. And once Prabhupada even said, don't be surprised if people fall away. He said sometimes we should be just thankful or surprised by those who stay. Many people come to Krishna consciousness and have difficulties. They have struggles. It's not so easy to give up so many things, especially to follow the four regular principles in this age. When you walk out the door, you walk to downtown Alachua, not Alachua's not so bad, but let's say a bigger city, Gainesville maybe, you know, or Jacksonville, you know, and everything is inviting you to do the opposite of what you're trying to do in your spiritual life, right? I mean, you turn on, you know, any of the media, television, internet, even you're just trying to just look for something, even your devotional service on the internet, and you get all kinds of ads come up and pop up and everything else. In other words, the difficulties in this age of Kali in the material world are there. And it's not so easy. And sometimes people follow for some time and they might have some difficulty. What we try to do, at least, you know, as devotees, as the family of devotees, association of devotees, is we try to help those who may be struggling. Now, they may or may not want help. They may not want to take our help. But we want to at least make ourselves available. Our mood should be, you know, a person is struggling. They're having some difficulty. How can we encourage them? You know, how can we help bring them back, you know, to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet? And Prabhupada gave us that example. I mean, people sometimes fell away, and if they came back, Srila Prabhupada almost didn't even speak about it, right? He just, please, just come back. You know, just come back. That's the important thing. You know, he didn't give them big lectures or, chastise them so much. He may have chastised some people if they needed it. But basically, he was just welcoming them back. You know, and if a person doesn't seem to want to come back, sometimes the best thing we can do is just befriend them. And through that friendship, a person, you know, at least they know I can come back because these are my friends. If people turn on them or, you know, shun, you know, it's like, you know how the Amish do the shunning? You know, if somebody doesn't follow, it's like, you know, you're out. We don't want to do that. We want to be welcoming. We want to be here. We want to, you know, keep our friendships with devotees, give them good association, encourage them, and welcome them back. Okay? Any other questions? Leave them on to Pupu.
I'd like to make a comment about this question. This morning when we were listening to Srila Prabhupada's memories or following Srila Prabhupada, was listening from home. Mm-hmm. Umapati said that he approached Prabhupada once and he was saying that so-and-so is doing this and so-and-so is doing that and so-and-so is doing this. And Prabhupada told him that you tried to be the example that you were looking at. Mm-hmm. You tried to be the example. Yeah. And 2 years later, he approached Prabhupada in the same way. And again, Prabhupada said the same thing. That you tried to be, you know, you set the example yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, rather than criticize that example. Good point. Yes.
Thank you. It's just something that I heard this morning from Dallas Temple class, and because it's related to everything that you say, all the points, but it's very positive. The speaker this morning, he said, once you said, I love you, to Krishna, he won't let you go.
Yes, that's very nice. Thank you. Yeah. One more, and then we should probably take prasadam. Just next on our schedule. We have one more question.
I want to take this opportunity with respect to the today's verse. Mm. I want to appreciate everyone who sits in your seat there. Mm. You are doing the best devotional service as for me concerned. It takes so much time for you, any speaker who's sitting in that chair, to prepare for a lecture. And it also takes so much guts to sit in a chair. You never know, you have so many devotees sitting here or so many people listening to your lectures. They may have questions, they may ask you. And when you answer the questions, then they'll be more happy and it's going to be convincing them about what their problems are.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, brother. Regarding the last question you had, I want to just say that if someone is not humble, they'll be definitely humble one way or the other.
Yeah, that happens a lot to us. We notice that. I was just saying in terms of giving class, yeah, it's actually, that's a humbling experience for me, at least in self. And I always find I try to really, I really pray a lot, you know, before to give giving class because, you know, it is a responsibility, and often there are many senior people in the audience who are, you know, equally qualified, if not more qualified, to give class. So, anyway, thank you very much. And we just have to keep a humble attitude and try to serve Prabhupada the best we can. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.